my name is Steve Greenwood, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I get to work with D6 Publishing and Randall House, those people, to prepare different resources and help with some different curriculum things. And then occasionally I get to do talks like this that have to do with how we can be better leaders for our churches, be better leaders for our families. And so today we're going to talk about going beyond informational teaching. Going beyond informational teaching. And kind of the beginning of that is to set the stage. I just want to chat just a moment with you about this whole concept of how many churches there are that are taking everything in this when it comes to their kids. I've worked with kids and teenagers and marriages, but this is primarily talking about how we interact with kids, right? But many, many ministries of churches across the country, they've just kind of cut the guts out of Bible teaching because they want to make what they do fun. They want to be entertainment for kids. And I just want to start here by telling you that the kids ministry in your church, in whatever state it exists, it's not to be looked at as just, hey, we got to put them over there because we don't want them interfering with us while we're in big church. Because if you have that kind of mindset that babysitting is what's going on, then who cares if it's just about fun? Who cares if they learn anything about the Bible, right? But that I want to set the stage for what we're going to talk about by trying to convince you or helping you connect with the idea that kids ministry is spiritual education, it's discipleship at the bottom level, and it should get so much serious attention. It should never be, oh, well, it's just the kids, so we're just going to stick them down there. We're going to put in a movie, and we're going to play some games, and the kids have fun. It's true. They will have fun. But at the end of the time that they're in the kids ministry and they grow into the youth ministry, if all they've done is have fun and haven't really ever been taught the Bible, taught about the gospel, then whatever little bit of faith they may have is going to be so weak in most of those cases, as soon as something hits it, it's going to be gone. So I believe with all my heart that whenever we get a chance to teach kids, we need to go beyond just sharing the information. And we want to go to the level with them that sets them up for transformation. Okay? For transformation. But I just wanted to ask you to consider a couple of questions. And, you know, the world that we live in right now is tolerant of everything except for the church. It's tolerant of everybody except for Jesus. Everybody else can do what they want to do, but if you try to speak too much for Jesus, you know, you get canceled, you get shouted down, or you get made fun of, or whatever the right words may be there. And it's been hard. We've come through, we got some hard economic times right now. We've had the pandemic. We've had this erosion of biblical values. People are turning away from God and more. And it's hard. Our churches have taken a hit. You know, during the pandemic, a ton of people that were just kind of hanging on, maybe they just stopped coming altogether, you know. And whenever you think about your church, there may be a lot of things that kind of maybe could be sad, could depress you, could bring you down a little bit. But I'm here to tell you that when you're working in your churches, wherever you may be, whatever number you may have, keep up the good work. Keep the faith. Keep working to share God's word with your community. Don't let the things that are going on around us define how we're going to work going forward. The gospel is still the best news that anybody could ever have. And even though there's more resistance to hearing it now, I believe there's something amazing. And the word magical doesn't really apply because it's God's power. It's not magic, right? But His power is so strong, it can overwhelm and it can tear down every falsehood. And He uses His Holy Spirit to do that. But then He connects the Holy Spirit to what we're doing. So we need to make sure that whenever we get a chance to speak truth to those folks, we need to make sure that we're doing this right. We're going beyond informational teaching. All right? So when we think about this, I just want us to have the mindset that as leaders, we can never stop trying to sharpen ourselves. you know, great inventors, they were still trying to invent things when they died. You know, some of the greatest inventions came after so many failures and so many efforts, right? There's the line from Nicolas Cage in National Treasure. He says something about Thomas Edison failed making the light bulb or whatever. And he's like, no, he found 144 ways not to do it, right? So we have to keep trying. We have to keep growing. We have to keep looking for more and more ways to sharpen ourselves. And so I think this is something that's worth thinking about. So when we are looking at this, well, we want to learn that being a great teacher takes more than the ability to tell a compelling story. It takes more than just being good at placing the flannel graph on the board. Okay, we want to take a minute and talk about some of the things that make transformational teaching possible. All right, the Bible that we have is incredible. It is God's word. It has been handed down to us and protected, and it is perfect for everything that any kid in your church needs. It hits everything. It is God's living word, and it is something that they need. So, but we need to look at the Bible, and we need to keep sharpening our mind, and we want to teach with spiritual transformation as our goal. Spiritual transformation. So whenever you start thinking about the information of the Bible, the Bible's information is very, very important. We definitely need that. We have to have that. I can remember growing up, my Sunday school teachers teaching me about all of these wonderful stories that I plugged into so much. Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew guys in the furnace, David killing Goliath, the children of Israel marching around Jericho. To this day, I can still remember the things that came into my mind learning about those. Samson, Noah, and the ark, Moses, and splitting of the Red Sea. Those stories are incredible, and it's so good for us to share those with kids and for them to know them. But I'm here to tell you that we need to look beyond just teaching the story. We need to have that information from the Bible. And kids definitely get more out of a lesson that's taught in an excellent way. And so we want to make sure that we're doing a good job with the Bible story. It's full of so many things. It's got action, suspense, love, and tons of supernatural interactions between people and God. You know, there's a reason the Bible is the best-selling book in all of history, right? It is wonderful. But I think we can have, there is a danger that exists if we allow ourselves to stop when we've only passed on the information. I think there's a danger in that. I think there's a danger in believing that just because kids were really engaged with how you were telling the Bible story, I think there's a danger in thinking that you knocked it out of the park because you might have left a little something out. And we're going to get to that just for a second. But just as a way of kind of talking about this, think about the Bible story from Exodus 7 to 12. That's all about when the 10 plagues of Egypt were brought against the Pharaoh and the Egyptians because of his disobedience. So let's say that you've spent an entire month unpacking, teaching, talking about those plagues, and you did a great job. You put all these visuals, you've made all these things, you brought in stuff to really do a good job with that. And at the end of that month, you got kids and they can tell you, well, the first plague was the blood, then the second plague was the frogs, then lice, and then the gnats, and then you got flies, and the livestock pestilence, and they can go all the way through the list from 1 to 10. And they can tell all of those, and they can answer Bible trivia questions and play tic-tac-toe on stage with the pastor and two deacons, and they can win because they know the answers to those questions because they were really paying attention. It's a very compelling story. But if that's all they got out of that, then I think maybe we've missed it. We've missed something very important. It's amazing. It is true. It really took place. I definitely got a lot out of learning that story, but I never remember my Sunday school teachers doing what I'm going to speak with you about. When you review with the kids what those plagues are, but we need to make sure For in order for us to know that that was effective teaching, we need to know that we have covered one very important topic, and that is this. We need to see that story and how it is really a picture of the gospel. Every single story. If we learn about how these lessons were taught, to show how God responded to their disobedience, we were not wrong, but we need to help our kids understand that it shows that in a way how we are all slaves to something. It makes a connection to that. We're all in a type of slavery to sin, and we all need a Savior to free us from that, and that God provided Jesus as the Passover lamb for us that allows us to avoid death, you know, and we've all fallen short. The information about the plagues or whatever Bible story we may be on is really important, but we have to teach that deeper meaning behind the facts and events of the Bible narrative. Let's see here. We got to look for and we got to teach the bigger story of the gospel. We have to look for the bigger story of the gospel. We want to go beyond informational teaching and look for every opportunity to teach the Bible in a way that continually directs kids to the gospel. And you know, the basic gospel, that word, you know, like I do, you've been taught that gospel means good news, right? And it is the best news. And the basic gospel that we always need to keep in the forefront of our mind is that God created a perfect world. He created everything just right because He's perfect, He's holy. And He intended for His perfect creation to have an ongoing, perfect relationship with Him. But sin entered the world when Adam and Eve made that choice. And all of us now as a result are born into sin. And those sins, even one or two, which is fun to ask kids, how many times have you sinned? Have you sinned 10 times? Maybe, you know, 100 times? No way. But, you know, honestly, we sin thousands of times. And even one sin, the gospel tells us that even one sin is enough to separate us from God forever. But God, in His grace and mercy, provided a solution for that. He gave us a bridge in Jesus. And if we accept Jesus, if we believe in Him as our Savior and accept Him into our heart, then we have peace with God again. And that's the message of the gospel that we can see throughout the Bible. And you have to look for it, and you have to make sure that that becomes part of what you do. We want to look for and teach the bigger story of the gospel. Wow. When you begin to think in this way as a leader and you're kind of perked up and your radar's always on, reading every part of the Bible, looking for how it connects to the story of the gospel, you are going to begin to see some incredible changes. I think it's going to make your teaching to kids or whoever it is you may be teaching, I think it brings more power as you read and teach God's word with that thought as a reflection. Well, I want to tell you, it all starts with you. If you want to go beyond informational teaching, if you want to make a difference in the kids that you teach, students, whoever you may be, you have to understand this is a very important principle, is that it all starts with you. It starts with me. Teaching that goes beyond sharing just information starts with personal spiritual growth. If we're not committed to growing in the Lord, drawing near to Him, then we will never be as effective to teach the kids that we want to teach unless we are going there ourselves. If you were with me this morning, I mentioned this, but I've had many occasions where I've had parents of kids come to me and say, please talk to my kid about being saved or being baptized. I don't know what to say to them. And these are people that have gone to church, you know, for years and years and years. I've known them, right? And they profess to be Christians, but they don't have enough spiritual knowledge to lead their kids to help make those most important decisions. And that really is something that's true. It starts with us. If we want to lead anyone somewhere, we have to be able to say that we've gone there already. You can't take someone where you haven't been. And as you are a leader and a teacher, you can't take kids deeper into God's word, into a deeper relationship with Him, if you aren't having one of those yourself. It all starts with you. And if you want to have transformational teaching, not just information passing, then you have to think about how much time do you spend feeding on God's word? How much time do you spend in prayer? And you know, it's not about a certain number of hours or minutes or whatever, but it's about daily submission to the Lord and intentionally drawing near to Him. You know, I got to tell you, if you're not drawing near to the Lord and you're not spending time yourself and you're really only thinking about informational teaching, we would never do this. But you could literally have someone who isn't a Christian teach a story from the Bible, and they could probably do a really, really good job about it with it as far as teaching the information. Because, you know, these are historical events in many cases. You know, the parables were not, I guess, but maybe they were. But you know, these are things that really happened. They're historical events that took place. And those facts and those figures and the different things that can be read about that could be shared by anybody. And this is another reason to think about what the overall ministry of your church looks like. To be very careful about the type of curriculum that your church uses with kids, with teenagers, with anybody, because there are a lot of Christian publishers that they produce things that are like, you know, really light on Jesus, really, really light on biblical content. And they can learn about character development at school. They can learn about character development in the Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. When they come to your church, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about who God is, how much He loves them, but they need to hear about their sin and that the fact that they've got to do something about that. And they need to be taught the way to have that forgiveness, the way to have those sins taken care of. They can learn about, you know, integrity after in some other ways. They can learn about being a good citizen or how to take initiative or how to be kind. All of those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them. But if that's like the focus, and there's not the gospel in there every single week, every single time you have an opportunity, then you're missing something. And this all goes to the same point, that it all starts with us. We have to be pushing. We have to be drawing near to God ourselves in order to see when something else is popping up that's going to kind of be a blocker, or maybe it's going to push people away. We don't want anything to take kids' minds off of the fact that there's nothing that we can do without Jesus. There's nothing we can do without being right with God through Him. No matter what they want to grow up to be, that is true. So again, it's not about how much hours or how many verses you can cram into your brain just by doing these as an activity, right? Like exercise or whatever. But it's about daily submission to God, allowing Him to be the authority over your life in every single way, and intentionally drawing near to Him. So I think after you realize it all starts with you and you start to draw near to Him, you will begin to see this, that as you grow in Christ and you know Him more and more and you start to know the Bible and you're making those notes and you're doing Bible studies and you're seeing different things, you'll begin to see that the entire Bible is about the gospel. There's really cool stuff on the web. Lots of different things, so you can find this. But it basically will show you how you can trace the thread of the gospel through every single book of the Bible. And basically what that means is that you could see Jesus all the way through. You could see what was going to happen, and you could see how the stories that are in those books, even the minor prophets, how those connect to who Jesus is and to the gospel. So from Genesis to Revelation, we can find that thread woven through Scripture, and every single person in the Bible, really, they're a secondary character. They're not the star. The star is Jesus. The star is what God is wanting to do to rescue us from sin. So whenever you're getting ready to prepare a lesson or small group time, don't just focus on that story, the facts and the dates or the realities of the things that happened, the events, very important. But let's dig in and look for this thread. Find that thread, pick it up, and use it to make connections with kids. Speak to them about the things that take it beyond informational teaching. So don't just teach the facts of the story, but seek to understand how it plays into the overall picture of God's plan to save us. So if it doesn't become readily evident to you, I would just urge you just to take a few minutes to look up the passage of Scripture or the overall story that is being taught and look for it. The Bible study tools are wonderful and can help us like this. There's a couple that I would just throw your way as recommendations. Some of you may have good ones that you like, but I really like to go to BibleGateway.com. It's just got, you can put in the passage and you can pick 1,000 different translations and even different ones in different languages if that's what you need. And it will give you a lot of insight. Another good one is BlueLetterBible.com. I don't know if anybody, or maybe actually it's .org. Blue Letter Bible is packed with study tools, commentaries, lexicons, breakdowns of the original languages. It's very helpful to get us going, to help us understand this. So as you begin to read the Bible in that way yourself, seeing Jesus as the central character of the Bible, even when he isn't mentioned, you're going to begin to teach in a different way. You'll begin to go beyond informational and get to transformational. Now, the next thing is whenever you're teaching the Bible story, is it okay if I move around from this? I hate and get stuck here on this. Let me take a quick water break here. When you're actually teaching and you're preparing to teach, I think you're looking for that thread. Here's something else that I think is really important to always do, and that is to always show the connections between the Bible characters, their choices, and the blessings or consequences of those choices. I have recently been listening to and kind of going through this Bible study on Genesis, and I've always been amazed by the characters and the stories that are in Genesis. But it's very good for us to think about this thinking about Abraham, say, okay, like we've got the song, Father Abraham, have any sons, right? All the kids always love that song. And you know, when I was a kid, that was my favorite one too. But when I got to be in ministry, I started looking at that song and I was like, hold on a second, let me make sure this is not just for fun. You know, but God, this is a song about God promising to make Abraham into a great nation. He had many sons. You know, all the motions maybe, you know, a little additional. But it's rooted in biblical fact. It's rooted in God's promise to make a great nation. And through his family tree, all the nations on earth will be blessed. It's a true thing. But whenever you're going through and you're talking about Abraham and Isaac, you know, when you study the Bible and you're going through the full thing, you see there's some times that Abraham made some pretty rough choices. You know, not once, but twice he basically allowed it to be known that his wife was his sister. And then he was like, you know, a little tricky with it. Like, well, technically, you know, she is. But we clearly know, we can read that and know that was a man who God had called, who had been obedient to do so many different things. But for some reason, his faith got trampled by his fear. And he made a choice that went against what God had called for him to do. We can't afford to have this whitewashed version of the Bible characters of them never having made any bad choices. So I think it's important to point out whenever you're going through that to identify and say, hey, kids, it sounded a lot. Do you think when he let him know that his wife was his sister, was he being honest about that? No, he wasn't. That was a lie, right? What does the Bible say about lying? Is a lie a sin? Yes. They need to know that, right? They need to make that connection, and they need to see what the consequences are of that. So in that particular story, you know, it worked out okay. Thankfully, Abraham didn't get like snuffed out, right? He got sent on his way, and the people were like, no, 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 there's something special about you, so we're even going to give you things because, wow, but you could see that this was a big, big problem. So it's good for us to show the Bible characters their choice and the blessings or consequences. So Abraham had to go, he went out into that wilderness and God dealt with him and he got himself straight again. And that's good to show as well. We need kids to understand we're going to fall, we're going to trip, we're going to skin our knees even after we accept Jesus as our Savior. But we can always return back to him and begin to go the right way again. And then we can say, remember Abraham, he made bad choices, but then he came back to the Lord. I would, you know, maybe not with kids, probably wouldn't go David and Bathsheba. You could save that one for a young adult class. But anyway, but what the thing is that I want you to think about is that we do not ever want to highlight the men and women of the Bible beyond their supporting role. Moses, Abraham, Noah, David, Joshua, and Caleb, those were my heroes when I was growing up. I mean, they were really my heroes. Paul, Peter, all of these disciples, amazing stories that I just couldn't get enough of. But I have to tell you, my teachers never, ever told us about the fact that they made mistakes, that they sinned. They were placed up on this pedestal to the point that I was like, okay, they're so special. I know they're not God, but they're not like me. They're almost up there, you know, is what your kid's mind thinks. You're almost like God because you were so good and you're in the Bible and look at all these things. But we never want to let the men and women of the Bible overshadow who the real star of the show is, which is God and His rescue plan and Jesus. And we want to make sure that we always give kids a proper view of that. Because if not, then it sets people up, kids, students, whoever, it sets us up to be like, I could never do that. I could never be good enough to be good with God, to be right with God, because I can't be perfect. I can't do the things that they did. But the Bible is all about people. Well, it's about Jesus. It's about the resurrection plan, the rescue plan for us. But it always involves so many people that needed Him too. And that's something we need to go. My teachers were great. I have so many good memories. But they elevated them as the central character often. And that's something that we've got to avoid. The only character in the Bible that deserves to be lifted up in this way is Jesus. He's the only one. Every single man and woman in Scripture that we read about was sinful and broken outside of their relationship with God. You know, Abraham, God said he trusted in me, and I considered that righteousness for him because Jesus hadn't been there yet. But Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned, and this includes every one of our favorite Bible characters, every one of them. So, next thing here, for information only is to teach on the surface. But transformational teaching helps propel kids forward in the sanctification process. That's a big word for a kid's pastor, but basically, sanctification is the process of what happens to us as we grow closer and closer to God. We are not intended to say yes to Jesus, accept Christ as our Savior, and then sit and soak. That's not what we're supposed to do. Too many people think, I've checked that box. I've got a home in heaven. We're good. And then they just put it in neutral almost, you know? We are supposed to continue growing. One of the things I like to talk about with growth is asking kids and talking to them about if they still eat baby food, if they still eat, you know, use pacifiers. If their mom and dad still put them in diapers. And of course, they're like, no, man, I'm big, you know, I'm grown. And the older they are, the more huge their reaction is to that. Well, when it comes to spiritual growth, Hebrews talks about going beyond the milk to the stronger foods, to the things that we can handle that show that we're growing, that help us know right from wrong. We need to help kids realize that it's not just check the box off and I'm finished. I've checked this box and now I'm starting on something that will last my entire life through. That whole race of going with Jesus as our guide is the sanctification process. It's growing closer to God. It's spending time with Him. It's to help us. It's the process of us turning more and more like Jesus is. Whenever we look at the Bible and we start looking at those Bible characters, we can highlight for them what their choices looked like when they are obedient to God and help them understand that obedience to God is actually what shows whether or not we're being transformed. If they're not being obedient, if they're not making those choices to be obedient to God, then they are missing something. They're lagging behind. They're not growing. We want them to see that. We want kids under your leadership to see becoming a Christian being accompanied by repentance, daily choices to pick up their cross and follow God, follow Jesus. And this is something that they need to do. If we're truly being transformed, our choices should start to direct us away from sin. Make sure that we're teaching that transformation says that it's not something we can't ever sin because God will kick us out of his family if we do sin again, but we try not to sin because of our love and gratitude for what God is doing inside of us. That's a part of that process that helps kids grow and realize that grace over their life is what they have. So as you begin to teach with transformation in mind, your desire to see kids accept the Lord as their Savior for their spiritual transformation will increase. But make sure you remember this last little point about transformation here. And that is this: teaching for information is really about being on the surface, but teaching for transformation is the beginning of helping kids make their life with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a great verse. I love it. It says, when anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's transformation. That's the moment of transformation. But it's the beginning of something, as we said. Now, one final thing is that transformation with kids is often a bit of a process, right? I don't know how many of you can remember this, but when I was a kid, I prayed to receive Jesus many times whenever I was a kid at camp and at home and at church and different times because I didn't have a full understanding of that. That's okay with kids because they do learn like that, and repetition of those types of choices are a good way for them to really understand what they're doing. And we need to definitely make sure that we let that process work in our kids as you teach. Your jobs as teachers, leaders, is to faithfully present the Bible to the boys and girls in your group. But they are the ones that have to make that decision to accept what God freely offers them. And that is something that will happen in bits and pieces sometimes. But what we've been able to see many, many times as we've worked with kids is that they've taken those different decisions and they continue to add them together, and it becomes this beautiful piece of woven fabric, if you will, that contains all of their faith, and it becomes something that's real to them. So keep encouraging kids to trust in God and be obedient to his word, and patiently lead them through the simple truths of the gospel every chance you get. Make sure that you are not teaching just the information. Make sure that you're finding that thread of the gospel. Keep sharpening your skills as a leader. Keep praying, keep asking the Lord to help you be ready each time. And just, wow, keep giving everything you can to help kids know Jesus.